We're doing Sefer HaMidot, we're up to page Samach Hei, and we're up to the bottom paragraph on page Samach Hei. The Magid Meduvna had been developing a thought. He said that a person has to analyze a few facts, and he says this is what the Mishnah, Akavya ben Malalel in Pirkei Avos, was teaching us. When he said you are created against your own will, what he was teaching us is that a person cannot take any credit for his own creation. If you think about it, no one asked you before you were born. You came to this world and you can't take any credit for it. The second point is you're living and it's against your own will. No one asked you. And he said if you analyze it, it's just like before you were born, you had no say in your coming to the world. In essence, you don't have much of a say in your staying in the world. Yes, a person can commit suicide, but a person has no control over his heart. Right now his heart's beating. He's not telling his heart to beat. He's breathing. He doesn't think about breathing. At every moment, the brain is releasing and telling the body to release different hormones and different things that keep his body functioning. His thyroid is managing the calcium in his body and the iodine in his body and so many different chemicals, and we don't even know it. What our body's doing. So we cannot take credit for living right now, although, yeah, we eat, we drink, but that's what he said. If you analyze it, we understand very little about how our own body functions. So we can't take credit for what's going on here. Our understanding is so limited, and the third point is, you can't even guarantee that you're going to be alive tomorrow. Our own future is not in our hands. We can try to remain alive tomorrow, but we can't guarantee it. It's not in our control. Yes, Simcha.
Isn't there an idea, forget where, that like before you're born, your soul says, oh, I'm going to go to these parents and things like that?
There is an interesting concept along those lines, yes. But he's talking on our level from what we see. Yeah, on a spiritual level, yeah, there's also a medrash that says that the soul also declares when it's going to die. There is such a medrash that. But we're talking from our perspective, down here. And Magid Meduvna continues and says, V'zeh shamru razal, and this that our sages taught us al ma'amar, on the verse that says, we say it every morning in Mizmor Lesoda, Hu asanu, God created us, v'lo anachnu. Now the word v'lo, if it's written vav lamed vav, means v'lo, and to him, anachnu. We are indebted. We are his men. If the word v'lo is written vav lamed aleph, it means and not us. He fashioned us and not us. We cannot take credit for it. And the word v'lo is written with an aleph, and we have a tradition that it should be read with a vav. Meaning every day we say it in Mizmor Lesoda. It's written as though it would say, he created us and not us. We cannot take credit. We didn't create ourselves. And we read it as though it would say, he created us, and to him we are. V'lo anachnu, and we are indebted to him, we are his men. The word v'lo is a kri ktiv. It's written one way, we read it the other way. So our sages said on this verse, nichtav be'alef v'karinan be'vav, it's written with an aleph, we read it with a vav. V'lo anachnu, we are his men. V'lo anachnu baranu et nafshenu. The Talmud says, both interpretations are true. We are his men, we are indebted to him, and we also do not take credit for our own creation. That's what it says in the Gemara, in the Medrash. Yes?
Is there any distinction between Aleph and Vav, the way we read it? We just say Velo, no?
We don't hear the difference, but as far as our tradition of interpretation, there's a difference. Re'ei Ata, now he invites us to see Omek Divrehem Zichonam Nivacha, the depth of their words. May their memory be blessed. Hu asanu velo anachnu. He created us and we are his men. Achar asher velo anachnu asinu et atzmenu. This stems from the fact that we did not create ourselves. Meaning our connection to Hashem, that was the point he was developing. Our recognition of Hashem, to an extent, stems from the fact that we recognize that we are limited and we have limited credit. If you stop and think about it, I didn't decide to be born. Well, then who did? I'm not the one that chose to give me life. I'm not the one that chooses to give myself life even at this moment. Then who is deciding? So he said, when it's like the two people traveling in the desert, that one finds something and the other guy says, hey, that's mine. And he says, prove it. And the first guy says, what do you mean prove it? You know it's not yours. Well, if it's not yours, then obviously it's mine. It's only you and me that are here. That's the way it is between us and God. When we analyze it and we say, wait a second, I can't take credit for my own existence, well, then who can? And again, he's not entering the realm of who is God and what are we talking about. He's discussing the first concept of God. The first concept of God is that force that is beyond you. There's something out there that is beyond the forces we see here. Well, that's the force that takes credit. That's what gives our original life, and that's what continues to give us life. Ki ha'asaga ha'mitit imuchachat me'anim tzayim. If you want a true perception of God, the first true perception you could have of God is from the fact that you see what's around you. Look at the creation. Ki einam ba'alei yecholet. If you look at God's creation, no creation can take credit for itself. Nor do they have knowledge or understanding. There isn't a single creation that understands itself. You talk to the intelligent creation called a human being, and you ask him, explain to me, how do you work? Explain to me. So he says, well, I can open up Wikipedia and look up how the brain works, and I'll tell you how the brain works. I could open up Wikipedia and learn about the intestines and tell you how they work. I could open up Wikipedia and I could learn about how my blood vessels work and how the cells within me, they remove this waste, and then you have the kidney that works to remove other waste. I could learn about myself the way I would learn about something that's external to me, meaning we don't even understand ourselves. And you look at God's creations, we're all intertwined. You know, there's an ecological, there's an ecosystem here. All of creation is connected to one another on some level. And one thing equates another or destroys another. There's a lot going on in our ecology, in nature all around us. You look at earth, you see all of the armies, everything, the descendants, one from the other. If you look at the ecosystem, you start seeing, wait a second, there's an artist behind all of this. Someone set up this system. There is a system going on here. He who guides his world with wisdom and arranges it with understanding. And that's what the great singer King David said, may peace be upon him. The heavens recount the glory of God, the honor of God, and his actions are recounted by the sky. If you look up, they recount God's glory. But if you look down below, he says a phenomenal thought in one sentence. He says, look around you. We don't even know what we don't even know. We don't even know. We don't even come to a recognition of what we don't know. Till we sat in this classroom, did we ever think about the fact that we are strangers to our own bodies?
Yes.
Good for you. Well, you, my dear, were in class last year when we learned the Drashat HaRamban. This idea predates the Magid Miduvna by about 400 years in Nachmanides. And it predates Nachmanides too?
You can find this in Greek philosophy.
Oh, but it predates them too. Because this idea is in King David in Psalms. What Nachmanides does is he shows how this idea was already in Psalms before the Greeks.
He got you there. But
okay. But I'm saying, so the Magid Miduvna here throws an amazing line at us. He tells us, you know, look at everything around you. The table doesn't know what the table doesn't know about the table. And we don't know what we don't know about ourselves. We don't even begin to know what we don't even know. You know, you have to start learning to understand what you don't know. It's only an intelligent person that begins to quantify what he doesn't know. There was a famous joker. They used to have a Hasidic minhag that at weddings, they'd have a guy who was the badchan. He was the joker. He'd get up and make jokes. And his job was to say clean jokes at a wedding and also in front of the Rebbe. Sometimes when the Rebbe needed someone to perk his spirits, they'd call in the court jester, the Badchan. So there was once a famous Badchan who stood up and started his speech as follows. The Rebbe was sitting there and he said, I want us to analyze what the difference between me and the Rebbe is. What's the difference between me and the Rebbe? And I want us to realize that there's really very little difference between me and him. How so? I'll prove it to you, he says. He said, look, if you'd ask the Rebbe, if you'd ask him In all honesty, is there more Torah that you do know or don't know? Meaning, are there more questions or more answers that you have? Is there more Torah out there that you do or don't know? So the Rebbe will tell you right away, there's a tremendous amount of Torah out there that I don't know, and what I do know is much, much smaller than what I don't know, because you could learn your whole life, and you could learn 10 lifetimes. So as much as he knows, there's still so much more out there that he doesn't know than that he does know. So now, there's a tremendous amount that he doesn't know, and there's a certain amount that he does know. So far, so good. Now, you'll all agree with me that everything I know, the Rebbe knows. And you'll also agree with me that everything he doesn't know, I also don't know. So then what's the difference between us? Only that small amount that he knows that I don't know, okay? But the truth is that it takes a certain amount of wisdom to realize what you don't know. When a guy first walks into Machon Meir, many people figure, I'm going to be here a week or two, I'll get the hang of this Judaism thing, and then I'm going on with my life. Then you start learning and you realize, wait, there's much more to this than I thought. I need a month. And after a month, you realize, wait a second, maybe it'll take a little bit longer than that. It takes a certain amount of wisdom to know what you don't know. So King David said, the heavens, they recount the glory of Hashem, but not so the earth and the things here on earth, because they don't even know what they don't know. Umotar Adam Aleim, but the human being is supposed to be above everything else. Ki yesh lo dat bina umzima. He has knowledge, understanding, and foresight. He can make plans. V'roed mitziuto v'arkavato tikuno v'echshiro. He looks at his own existence. He looks at how he was composed. He looks at the way God gave him certain capacities. V'yodeh be'emet she'en lo shum chelek v'yidiyah bevinyan mitziuto. And he should at least come to the understanding that he really does not begin to understand his own being. You know, the great philosopher said, know thyself. Or if you want Shakespeare, Polonius, and this above all. Oh, Baruch Hashem, finally, I'm not sitting alone here. And this above all, to thine own self be true. Which is very hard. Amar alav echesid alav shalom. So the pious one said in Tehillim, Odechal ki noraot Nifleiti niflaim ma'asecham nafshi yodat me'od. Ritzono lomar, what King David was saying is, yodat me'od, I know so much, I know so well, ke'ina yodat, that I don't know. Meaning King David gives thanks to Hashem and he says, I thank you about the great things you've done for me, the great body, the great soul, the great capacity you've given me, and my soul knows this so well. What he meant to say is, I know so well that I don't know. And that takes wisdom. The problem with the fool is that he doesn't know he doesn't know. When you begin to know what you don't know, you're already 10 steps ahead. Kama'amar ha-chacham, like the great philosopher once said, tachlit ma she-neida hu ma she-lo neida. One of the philosophers once said, the essence of knowledge is to know what you don't know. I would say it a little differently, but at least that's the starting point. And we'll pick up here, Be'ezat Hashem, next time.